Welcome to the Bachelor Podcast with Nicole and Matt. This is the show where we discuss the whole family of Bachelor reality TV relationship shows on ABC. This is episode number 54 of our podcast, in which we're going to discuss the episode of The Bachelor that aired the night of Monday, March 5th. Now, just a reminder, everybody, this is a spoiler-free show. So when Nicole and I talk about the show, we don't know who gets the final rose at the end of the season. And we also are going to be discussing what happened in the episode. So if you haven't watched it, just be aware of that. We're going to be talking about what happened. So I'm sitting here with Nicole. Nicole, how you doing?
Doing well. Women tell all.
One of our, we always say, one of our favorite episodes
of
the season.
Yes.
And I don't think it disappointed, did it?
No, it didn't.
So before we go into our recap of that episode, I do want to have my own little personal Matt's feedback corner. It's a new segment of the show where basically I'm just going to read every single thing that we've gotten this week. So so let's get into some emails that didn't really have much to do with the Women Tell All, but just some stuff we got this week. First, we got this email here from our good friend Rich, and he says, "Hey guys, I didn't get to see last night's show yet, but wanted to clarify the comment I made about you guys being married and how it explains a lot." So for you guys, a couple episodes ago, episode 50, Nicole and I, we said that we were actually a married couple. We True. Didn't really talk about that on the air before, so we just wanted to, I don't know, talk about that for some reason. And so he says that while listening to you over the last couple seasons, I've wondered what your relationship to each other was. For some reason, I assumed you guys had dated briefly at some point, and then she dumped you, and you became friends. I don't know why I made that assumption, but I laughed at it when you explained. So
that's the first time I'm hearing this. I'm sorry. That was great. I wonder why Rich thought that.
That you dumped me?
Yeah.
And maybe because you're mean to me.
I know. Am I being like Courtney?
No. Because I know exactly how you feel. You're not a... You're exactly the way you're around me as you are the other girls in this house. Not that there's other girls in this house. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Nicole's being at me, guys. You can't tell, but she's looking at me weird. Yeah. And then Rich goes on to talk about his bingo game that he made a couple weeks ago, if you remember that. Mm-hmm. He says it can also be used as a drinking game. So that's good. And he says we do have an open invitation to hang out with him. He lives in Central Jersey. So if we ever want to take – I said – if you want to hang out, Rich, so maybe we should organize some sort of NYC bachelor meetup.
Those in the area, definitely. We get have a nice get-together in Manhattan.
A little lunch or brunch or something. It'd be fun. Then we have another email here. This is from Mike Pichetti, who emailed us a couple weeks ago. And he says this, "The last podcast was great. Just wanted to share some random thoughts with you about the show. One, my wife and I love Nicole's uh-oh moments."
Thank you. Thanks, Mike and wife.
So maybe Matt's feedback corner will be a treasured moment. Probably not. Then he says, number two, my wife has an interesting take on Emily. She believes that she plays the, quote, unattainable girl. This is Emily Maynard, the upcoming Bachelorette.
Oh, okay.
She has the sad story, the child, and the pretty face. My wife believes that she likes to be chased, but that she won't settle down with anyone because she will then have lost the aura of the dream girl that is available. We believe there's a good chance that she won't pick a bachelor in her season. Listening to Ashley and Allie's advice certainly won't help. Number three, we're not sure we can watch Lindsay get rejected by Ben and his horrible hair. Number four, we think Chris Harrison should be more involved in the show. Over the years, Jeff Probst's role has become more prominent in Survivor, and that has made the show better. They could have him asking questions at the confessionals or something like that. He seems like a good guy with a good moral compass. Hmm. Totally agree. I love Chris Harrison for the most part.
Me too.
He's great.
More Chris Harrison.
The more Chris, the better. Number five, we heard this idea and we liked it. Make Bentley the next Bachelor. All the girls would be horrified when they first saw him, but one by one they would convince themselves that they could change him and turn him into a decent human being. It would be a train wreck. And it would be awesome. Thanks again. Take care, Mike.
Great.
So, yeah, I do kind of like that last idea. It would never happen. Well, you know, never say
never. You never know. You never know.
So, and then we had this one comment here from April NYC. Left this at our blog at thebachelorpodcast.blogspot.com. She says, "I love the podcast. I have not been able to actually watch the show, but I appreciate your commentary, and I never miss your podcasts. My sister had a fitness magazine with Courtney on the cover. It was from 2 years ago. She did a demo exercise of core exercises. Not high fashion, just girl next door fitness model chic. Ben does deserve her. So, you know,
true.
She does. So let's get into just some feedback here about last night's episode, The Women Tell All. So first we had this message from Julie R. Designs on Twitter, and she says, is it bad that I have no idea who some of these girls are from the show?
I know. There was this one, the first girl that they introduced, no idea who she was. I forget her name. She was the one all the way on the left.
Yeah,
I've never seen her before in my life.
Not Samantha the Chihuahua, but some other girl. Yeah. But and then let's see, we have a couple messages here on Facebook. We were asking the question, what question would you ask on The Women Tell All? So a lot of times, they didn't do it this year. They have audience members ask a question of the bachelorettes that are there. They didn't do that this year. It's kind of disappointing.
No, I missed that.
Right? So we were asking, what would you ask if you were there? And Lori says, I would ask which medication Courtney is on, because if it makes you lose that much reality, I'm in. So that's a great question. I wonder if she probably needs to be on medication, actually.
True.
Well, we'll talk more about that in an email, actually. Then next we have Aaron. Aaron says, if I were one of the women grilling Courtney, I would ask if she regretted her actions because, like a thief, she got caught, or if she truly didn't think she should have acted that way. I noticed all of her comments seem to be, you guys have no idea how much all the mean things I've said have hurt me, my family, my career, my relationship with Ben, etc. It is always about her and only about her, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone more narcissistic on TV.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Courtney, and we'll talk more about her later on, but I was asking people, do you think Courtney was sincere when she appeared on the show? Do you think that those tears were real?
Right.
And Vicky says no. Gloria says, I felt bad for her taking the brunt of the attack, but that does not dismiss for the behavior or how she treated the other girls all season. I believe they were real tears, but caused by her realizing how they felt, not for her own mistakes. Did you catch how she said she cared for Ben a lot, as in the past tense? Looking forward to next week. And then Michelle says after that, I felt so bad for her. I think she was being sincere, and having all those girls bash her made her realize how much she hurt them. It was horrible to watch. I would have accepted her apology. It's never a good thing to hold a grudge.
True, true.
And then Lori, again, says to that, I think the only thing that made her cry was the fact that people were berating her with the things that she had done. You'll notice she cried only when someone was directly telling her what she did wrong and wanted a direct apology. Putting her on the spot and she couldn't handle it, like when Blakely called her on it. I think she's apologizing for her image and not much else. I did notice the cared for Ben count as well. Very interesting, but the fact remains, she's not a people person. Laugh out loud.
Hmm.
All right, so that wraps it up for our feedback on The Women Tell All. A lot of good points there. Maybe we'll kind of revisit some of those
points,
as we go through our recap of this episode.
So, Women Tell All episode, one of my faves. And at the beginning, they have a Where Are They Now of all these different bachelors and bachelorettes that... Half of them I don't remember.
It looks like an episode of The Jersey Shore for a moment or
two.
Yeah, you know, they're in the bar, they're drinking, they're grinding and having a good time.
Casey is apparently making out with some girl named Lisa P that I don't remember. But so I guess he and Vienna are done. We see Ed,
Jillian
had picked.
We see
he looks really good. It looks really good.
He looks good, yeah. Ryan P., we see him.
Talking about water heaters.
That was great. That was great. I'm glad he's able to make fun of himself there a little bit.
Yeah, he seemed a little bit like more normal than he did before.
Now, when they are talking about Ryan P., this is where the subject of Bachelor Pad is first broached. And it seems like they're trying to kind of like get us ready for Bachelor Pad already. And they're saying, oh, you know, Ed would be good on Bachelor Pad. And how would Ryan P. handle it? You know, I think he would do well. I think the ladies would like him. So they're already trying to get us sympathetic to these people.
Exactly. Then we see Reed from Jillian's season. Whenever I think of Reed, he was a really nice guy. I always think of him saying to Jillian in like Barcelona when she saw him.
Hola, mi amor.
But you say it with more excitement than he did. He's like, hola, mi amor. And he has such like this awful Spanish accent, but he's a nice guy. Allie talked about Roberto, blah, blah, blah. Then we see Frank.
Wow, Frank.
Remember Frank?
I forgot about Frank.
And Allie, they still have some chemistry there.
Now, I was so confused. Is Frank still with his girlfriend or not?
I think so. This is the thing. It sounded like he said that he and his girlfriend, Nicole, live together in Chicago. I don't think he said lived. I could be wrong.
I don't know if you remember this last night, but when we rewound it, we turned on the closed caption to see what he said, and it said live together. But just the way they kept talking about it, it sounded like they didn't. So I'm confused.
You mean that they're not together?
They're not together, yeah.
Right.
So I'm confused. I would love to have someone clear that up for me.
And then it ends with Erica saying that Allie wasn't looking her best, which I do kind of agree. Anyway, so then we go to the Women Tell All, and, we hear Blakely make the typical comment of, I didn't come to make friends, which really, really bugs me. And they show, the skinny dipping scene, and Emily's closing her eyes as they're showing it, and
one more thing about Blakely. She says that she didn't make friends with people because she's more mature than the other people in the house. That was her reason for not being friends with people. Now,
whatever.
Now, wait a second. Let's just dissect this for a moment here. So she's basically saying that she's able to separate her need for friendships with other people because she's more mature. I guess that means she didn't need to be friends with them. That's what she's saying.
I guess.
But wouldn't a more mature person be able to be friends with people to look past the fact that they're rivals for one guy's affections and be able to make friends with people?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
she's annoying. So what's with Samantha?
Oh.
She needs to calm down. She was so annoying.
She was really bad. In fact, on this morning's Bachelor blog, where Ben talks about his thoughts on the Women Tell All, he says, now, a lot of you don't remember Samantha. It's because she was let go really early. Now you can see why I let her go when I did. So he obviously had a taste of this before.
Yeah.
And he was ready to say goodbye pretty early on.
And Samantha and Brittany, like, she all of a sudden gets into it with Brittany, the girl who left and who brought her grandmother.
Right.
Brittany says she didn't have an attraction towards Ben. And then Samantha was saying, I was your friend when no one else would talk to you. Like, what?
Yeah, and then Samantha's like, you left because you were bullied. And what? Why? What were you talking about?
Oh, it was
about?
So annoying. And then Brittany says she's like a chihuahua, which is really funny.
It's so confusing. This is one thing I have to say. It's so annoying to have all these women talking over each other. You can't understand what's happening.
No.
It makes the show almost unwatchable. Yeah. It almost ruined it for me this year. I'm being honest.
I agree.
I was like almost ready to walk out of the room.
I totally agree. So then we have Chantel come out. And, I felt really, really bad for her. I mean, them showing the clips of what these women said about her, it's just really mean.
I mean, she was there for like a half hour. And they're saying all this stuff. I mean, really, she didn't do anything to them.
It's really mean.
Besides just walking in.
I mean, there's a difference between saying, what's she doing here? And who does she think she is? Fine. Whatever.
Right.
But then just making really mean comments. She's,
like about her body.
Yeah, she's uglier in person and awful. And so all of a sudden, Elise apologizes. And then Erica, whoever she is, says, I'll sit here and apologize all day long. Because she made some comment about how Chantel's thighs are bigger than hers.
Yeah. And she's like, well, I have big thighs, so
yeah,
you have to understand.
Yeah,
and
she goes, I mean, I'll sit here and apologize all day long, but I don't have tiny thighs. I'm like, what?
Like, she's making it like, this is something I just say all the time. I say this about every girl that I see. Oh, good. At least she has bigger thighs than me. Like, she's making it like this is a normal thing to say because she has what?
It's really ridiculous. So we finally have, our first sit down, and Chris Harrison sits down with Emily. And, she gets teary-eyed after watching the clip of when she didn't get the rose. But she made a great, great comment.
Hmm.
And she says, I wouldn't want to have ended up with somebody that would fall for what Courtney has to offer. It's like, yep, that's basically it. You summed it all up. So then here's my uh-oh moment. Blakely says, you know, Courtney called me a stripper, but she's the one who took her clothes off for America.
Good one, Blakely. That was actually pretty good and true. And most importantly, true. That not only did Courtney take her clothes off during that scene, but she also went topless at the tribe.
Exactly.
So she's the stripper.
Exactly. So Emily made another really good point. She says when she was telling Ben about, you know, her thoughts about Courtney the first time, Ben says, you know, tread lightly. And Emily says, you know, the guy that she's going to be with would have said, you know, thank you, Emily. Thank you for letting me know. I can see you're concerned about this. Thank you.
Yep.
Not here's a warning. So then we see Nikki, blah, blah, blah.
And she says that she fell in love with him after the hometown date. And, you know, she just wonders if maybe she didn't have an edge or maybe if she played hard to get, it would have helped her out a little bit more, which goes along with my theory that she felt like she was really putting herself out there, that she was being super confident about the whole mm-hmm. thing. And maybe if she backed off a little bit, it would have helped her out.
But
a little
bit
more.
Did she watch the show and see that, like, he didn't really like her that much?
I think he liked her a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as much as, like, Casey B, but...
So speaking of, Casey B goes, you know, sits in the hot seat, and she just says their core values and families are different, blah, blah, blah. So, everyone starts talking about Courtney, and all of a sudden Samantha says, like, in the middle of something, yeah, Blakely's awesome. I'm thinking, didn't she just yell at Blakely before? I really feel like this girl's a little wacky.
I thought that was Monica that said Blakely's awesome.
No, Samantha. I think so.
I think it was Monica, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
which made me think, like, hey, how come no one's addressing the first
Monica
night?
And Blakely thing? Yeah. I know. So all of a sudden, Chris Harrison tells us Courtney's here, which really, I mean, I understood why they brought her out and it's more drama and stuff, but it really bothers me that they brought out the girl that is in the top two. You know, it's never been done before in a women tell all where they always save the top two after the final rose. So I was a little bothered by that.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me too much. So right before Courtney comes out, just really quickly, Casey is defending Courtney. And she basically is the only one that's defending her
and
saying, I was friends with her in the house and she has she was just keeping stuff to herself and that's just her personality and this and that. So there's someone there that's sticking up for her. Now,
there is.
I found that very interesting. And I felt bad for Casey, honestly. Out of anyone that night, I felt bad for her.
Because she was very sweet about it. And she felt bad for her friend, you know? She was sticking up for her.
So Courtney comes out and
she's terrified.
She's terrified. You should see the girls' faces are just like...
Yeah.
They are stone cold killers staring her down.
And Blakely asks her, which was...
Kill shot.
Which is really... which is a really good question. Blakely says, you know, I never said anything bad to you. I never had an issue with you. And yet you said I was a stripper. You said this. You said that. And she said, what did I ever do to you? And Courtney answers, nothing. You know, she says nothing, which that's all she could say.
And
I'm glad Blakely, you know, called her out on it.
And Emily is asking her, you know, what happened? You know, when I was trying to apologize to you and you wouldn't accept my apology, what... You know, why didn't you do that? And she folds on that too. She's like, "Yeah, no, I should have done that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry."
What's bothering me about this whole thing is, I mean, you know, like you said, everyone's talking over one another, and everyone's, you know, yelling at Courtney. And the main point that they're making is that, you know, Courtney, we all became friends, and you could have been friends with us, and you didn't give us a chance, and you just went in your room by yourself, and that was their main point. But like, I don't see that as being the issue. The issue isn't that Courtney didn't want to be friends with them. Boo-hoo. That's not the issue. The issue is, Courtney, you said really mean things in your interview to the camera. Didn't you think that this was going to be shown on national TV?
Right.
That's the issue. Like, you know, if I were one of those girls, I would have said, Courtney, you were just really mean. And what do you have to say about the mean things that you said? That's it. That's the issue. It has nothing to do with the fact that she wasn't friends with them. Who cares?
But she,
who could care less?
She did address the fact that she said mean things, and she said she's sorry. And she said, you know, my family is negatively affected for this, and she's asking for forgiveness. So let me ask you this. Or do you have more to say about Courtney?
Go ahead, ask.
What do you think Courtney's deal is? What do you think it is? Do you think that she... Well, let me back up for a second. We had an email this week from someone that took issue with something that we were saying a little while ago. And let's see here. Yes, this is from Catherine. She says, "Hi, guys. I've just started listening to your podcast. They're a lot of fun. I agree with Nicole's comment last week that Ben is the worst bachelor ever." Seems like that's a unanimous thought this year. Then she goes on. "However, I did want to note that while Courtney may be annoying or seemingly quote-unquote crazy, it's doubtful that she's autistic or anywhere on the autism spectrum. I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist, but I know some darling children who are autistic, and I can tell you it is nothing like the kind of behavior we see from Courtney. Let's not insult the autistic by bunching Courtney in with them. Thanks for the great podcast, Catherine." So, Catherine, great point. Now, when we first made that autism comment a couple weeks ago, I couched it by saying this. Actually, one of my brothers has autism. He is one of those classic cases of autism where he started regressing at the age of 3. He lost all of his verbal skills and then had to slowly regain them over the years. And he's a great success story. I mean, you can attest to that,
he
Nicole. It's amazing. I mean, he graduated from college. He's very high functioning. You definitely can tell.
Now he is.
You can definitely tell that he has a disability, though, when you speak with him.
Yes.
There's a lot of signs like that there. Is Courtney's behavior anything like him? Not at all.
No.
But Courtney does exhibit some traits of having severe social anxiety and some non sequiturism that I think you could associate with maybe Asperger's.
Yes.
Possibly.
She definitely has made a ton of comments. Really having nothing to do with her skinny dipping or making mean comments about the other girls, but the randomness of some of her comments remind us a lot of somebody who is on the spectrum.
Right. Now, I'm not saying that she is.
No.
This is what I think. I think that she has severe social anxiety.
I agree.
Because Casey herself was her friend in the house was saying, yeah, she would lock herself in her room all the time. Mm-hmm. She would go downstairs to talk with the other girls. And when you saw her on camera, and Chris Harrison talks about this on his blog at Entertainment Weekly, and he says it's very weird for a model, but she seems so uncomfortable on camera. And he said you really didn't get to see the real her until she started breaking down and crying. And he says, I'm not defending her. He's like, but you really had to feel bad because it took that much pressure and that much intensity for her to really let her true colors be seen. And I think she just has a lot of social anxiety, and I think that she attacks other women as a defense mechanism to make herself feel better.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And that's what this is all about.
Of course.
It's all
Absolutely.
About her being nervous, about being rejected, about not having friends. And so she puts up this wall, and she is constantly putting other women down. And that's, you know, I don't know.
And this is all from what we've just seen on the show. We don't know her, obviously. We're just making, you know, our own opinions, saying our own opinions about this. You know, obviously we're not psychologists either. We're just...
Well, actually, I'd been wanting to tell you something, Nicole. I've been taking some classes.
You've been a psychologist?
Yeah,
all this time.
No, I don't
And
really...
you're still with me? Wow. I'm impressed.
Well, you're the most interesting subject I've ever had, so trying to get to the bottom of you here.
So you said I was boring, remember?
Oh,
anyway.
A couple weeks ago. Oh, man.
So, something that really disappointed me about this whole women tell all, a few things, but so Ben comes out and he looks like he's from 1997. And I'm not kidding. His whole look, his outfit, his hair, like seriously, his shirt and tie, he honestly looks like footage from 1997.
Actually, you want to see who Ben really looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Do a search.
This is great.
For Francine, the character from the cartoon show Arthur. It was like a kid's show from like 10 years ago or so. Do a search for the character Francine. He looks exactly like her.
I know. The cartoon character Francine.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I'll post a picture on Facebook of a side-by-side comparison. You won't believe it. It's
great.
Hilarious.
The hair. So he comes out and he says, "Welcome to my nightmare."
Which is true, actually.
That kind of annoyed me.
You know what? This poor, I mean, not
no,
this
no,
poor
no.
guy.
No, no, no. Not this poor guy.
But he's been through a lot lately. And, you know, people have been ripping him a new one left and right on Twitter and on the blogosphere and everywhere. No one is giving this guy a break. So I do feel bad for him just slightly. I do.
Whatever. So, one thing that, you know, what I was disappointed with, like I said, which I didn't actually get to, sorry about that, was on the Women Tell All, they always have time for when the Bachelor comes out or Bachelorette comes out and confronts all the people that they've let go. They go one by one, you know, to the last few girls that he's let go and say, like, you know, do you have anything to KCB? Do you have anything to say to
them?
That's
Ben? A good point.
And they have their own little, you know, well, my question is, like, when you let me go or blah, blah, blah. And because we spent so much time on Courtney, we didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
It was really disappointing.
I think it's just because of the season, because of him, because of Courtney. I mean, it really just has thrown the whole thing, you know, off kilter. And I'd be really curious to look at the ratings this season to see if people are just kind of bailing on the show because of this, or
maybe
if they're attracted to it, you know?
Maybe. So while Ben's out, Jen asks Ben, she says, you know, I was so surprised that, you know, you let me go before Blakely. And she's like, I mean, what does Blakely have that I don't? And I'm thinking, Jen, you really gonna ask that? Like, it's a little awkward. And then she says, which I always liked Jen, and I thought this was really rude. She says to Ben, I mean, really? You were considering taking Blakely home to meet your mom? I mean, no offense, Blakely.
And Blakely just kind of takes it in stride.
It was really rude.
That was mean.
It was really mean. And then Nikki, this proves that Nikki definitely needs to get out more. This is what Nikki says to Ben. You're the best man I've ever met in my entire life. Like, did you watch the show, Nikki? Really? You really need to get out more. Like, you need to meet more people, if that's what you think. Emily says to Ben about his goodbyes, you kind of stink at it, which is absolutely true, because he has the worst goodbyes. And then Jamie, if it doesn't work with whomever you choose, you know, I'm
she's
available.
She's still throwing herself at,
like,
him.
He didn't like you, hon.
Like,
sorry.
Even when you straddled him and you ripped your dress trying to kiss him, that was, no.
And Jenna, the girl who claims that she had a meltdown, and, you know, that blogger girl, mm-hmm. We didn't really hear from her much until
the
end.
Not too much, yeah.
Then Monica says that she thought she was crazy, and then she gives Jenna a tampon because Jenna says that maybe one day they could share a tampon or something.
Yeah. That was a nice, funny way to end it.
Yeah, it was funny. So, anyway.
So, just important note. All right, next week, guys. Next week, it's going to be a 3-hour finale from 8 to 11. They're going to do a special, of course, 2-hour finale and then a 1-hour after the final rose special. So what we're going to do, because we like you guys so much, we are going to record a special, like, very, very short reaction podcast after that airs. So Tuesday morning, you'll have something to listen to. Check in around, you know, 7 or 8, hopefully. And we will post that then. So if you have any comments, if you want to call in, people can call us at
631-223-8435.
So anytime during the finale next week, call us or send us a email at thebachelorpodcast@gmail.com or go to facebook.com/thebachelorpodcast. Give us some feedback and we'll read it quickly that night. Then the next day, we will, or a day or two later, we'll do a longer, more in-depth discussion of everything that has transpired, right, and we'll do any follow-up from the show. And then maybe we might do another episode after that. We'll see.
There's definitely going to be at least 2 podcasts after the final rose. So there'll be one that we'll be doing immediately and then one that's going to happen a day later.
Yes.
Just so you know.
It's going to be a busy couple days there. Yeah. So are you ready, Nicole?
I'm excited. I'm really excited because Chris is making this like it's really a huge deal. So something better have happened at this finale here. You know, besides
he
Ben
says it's the most controversial season finale ever. Not the most dramatic, mind you, but the most controversial.
I don't know. I think there's never going to be a more controversial rose ceremony, you know, finale ever ever since Brad Womack's first Bachelor.
Where he didn't pick anybody.
Where he didn't pick anybody. I think that's, it's never going to get more controversial than that. I mean, really, that was crazy.
Unless a Bachelor says, like, I can't pick you because I'm gay. And, like, that would be...
Well, that, okay, true.
I'm just trying to up the ante here.
True,
I'm trying to think
true.
What
but
could
I don't,
possibly
I
be
crazier. I just personally don't think that's going to happen. I think that
you don't think so? Probably
you
not.
Never know. Probably not.
You never know.
Well, please feel free to visit us on Facebook, as Matt mentioned, facebook.com/TheBachelorPodcast. You can also visit us online, thebachelorpodcast.blogspot.com. Don't forget to send us your comments. You can send them via Twitter. Twitter.com/bachelorpodcast, email thebachelorpodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 631-223-8435.
And don't forget, leave us a review at iTunes. Go to iTunes Music Store, do a search for The Bachelor Podcast. Give us one of those great reviews that we love to get. We want your reviews. Leave one. All right. Well, let's take a week off. Nicole, what do you say? And we'll come next Monday night.
Next Monday night.
So we will see you all there. Adios. We must be in-